is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Dumb Nerds Podcast. This is a show where funny people come on to talk about a smart topic they consider themselves to be an amateur expert in. And today we got a nice, dumb, and nerdy episode for you with the very funny, very talented Jason Kay. And we're talking about Star Trek, The Next Generation, specific in the Star Trek universe, which I learned. Yes, I don't consider myself a Star Trek nerd, but I'll tell you, after this episode, I'm convinced. I think I'm going to get into it. And you know I'm a nerd, so I bet I'll love it. Jason really sells it, and I think you guys are going to love this episode. It's a nice long episode, too, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I just want to let you know that Jason has a show in the Hollywood Fringe Festival called Hellcross. You got to check it out. I'll have it in the show notes for you, and Jason will talk about it at the end of the show. Also, you can follow him on Instagram at Jason K Comedy. Today's show is brought to you by Saucy. Oh, yeah, it's an app where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered directly to your door. What?
It's 2018, baby! Apps, they bring everything,
and alcohol is no exception. There's no delivery fees, no minimums, and it gets to your door in 30 to 60 minutes. Woo! Nice and fun. So to get alcohol delivered to your door and to save 10% on your order, go to boardwalkaudio.com/saucy. That's boardwalkaudio.com/saucy. S-A-U-C-E-Y. If you haven't already, please go to iTunes and rate and review this show. It helps us get more visible, gets more dumb nerds out there to hop on board and listen to these fun, silly, nerdy episodes. Now, let's get into it. Here's Jason talking about Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Boom, we're in it.
Oh, we're in.
Nice cold open.
Cold open.
But we were talking about apartments and everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it all being recorded too?
No.
Oh,
yeah. No. Yeah, I have secret mics around my house. And then I edit it all in. Yeah. And like, yeah, it's all about secrets and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
The secret podcast.
Secret podcast. That would be cool. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It would be fun to listen to secrets, but
secret
that would
conversations,
but
yeah.
You would have no friends.
Yeah,
it would everyone would be like, what the hell, man?
It's a major betrayal of trust. Yeah. Is what it would be. Be like, man, Cassie's podcast was like worth listening to, but I can't hang out with her ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I have millions of downloads and yes. Everyone knows what makes Jason sad.
Yeah. It's lonely at the top, though, Cassie.
It's, yeah, you're at the top, man.
No, same for you after your millions of downloads.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah
I'm
yeah.
Well near the bottom. So do we just get right into Star Trek?
We get right into Star Trek. Literally, your phone case has a Star Trek character on it.
Yes, this is Lieutenant Worf.
Is that your favorite character?
It's not, but it was my favorite case.
Okay.
My favorite character on... It's Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, yeah. And can you say what the difference is again? Because in my mind, I'm like,
oh,
Star Trek.
Oh,
but there's like lots of difference.
So... Star Trek, the original series, I believe came out in 1966.
Uh-huh.
And, I never really got into that. A, because I wasn't alive. I mean, I wasn't really alive for the original series run. I mean, sorry, the Next Generation run either.
Uh-huh.
But I went back because it's all of Next Generation, and I believe the original series, TOS, is on Netflix now.
Oh.
And I think so is Deep Space Nine.
Is Deep Space Nine the original or something else?
No, Deep Space Nine is the one right after Star Trek The Next Generation.
Got it. Okay.
And then there's also Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek, and there's one called like Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the current Star Trek, which I hear is great. And
that's a show?
It's a show, and I forgot the name of it. I think it's called like Star Trek like Discovery or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, something like that. I might be wrong on that. But I hear it's great, but you have to pay a firewall to see it online on like CBS.
Oh.
So like every one of my Trekkie friends are like, it's the best one since probably Deep Space Nine.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
But anyway, so the difference is that... And I haven't really got to nerd out about Star Trek in a while.
This is great.
Is that the original series is very campy.
Okay.
And it's like you could see the zippers on the back of the aliens. And like there's one episode where Lieutenant Zulu, George Takei, mm-hmm. how he became mm-hmm. famous. Like mm-hmm. I think he's a botanist also on the on that ship.
Because you need a botanist.
You need a botanist. But he, like, or it might have been just a hobby of his, but he had a bunch of plants. And like for the plants, they literally, you'd like this because they're puppets. They just had like glove hands, uh-huh. glove hands with like little like flowers on each of the fingers. Yeah. And it's like, this is an alien, alien plant. And it's just a guy's hand doing like.
So would there be scenes with the plants in the background moving?
Yeah, for that one, yeah, because so
the puppeteers were just hanging out back there.
They were literally hanging out back there. Not only that, they didn't. I guess he didn't really have automatic doors back then, and so
okay,
like, they would literally. You would sometimes people would, like, walk through, and you and the some, like grip would be like, "Oh shit, yeah," and then like they'd be like, "It was really, really rough."
That's amazing.
But the next generation was a whole new level, and that came
technology,
and it came out I think in 87.
Okay.
And that's with Patrick Stewart as Captain Picard.
And then George Takei signed on again?
No.
Okay, because this is, I think, where I think really people... Confusing. Yeah, I think people like me who's like...
Oh, sure.
No, just like watered down general facts
right,
kind of
yeah.
think like Patrick and George and William Shatner, like we're all hanging out.
Oh, no, not at all. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Okay. So one of them's a real captain. No offense to all the Kirk fans out
there.
Damn. And his name's Jean-Luc Picard. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that when the Next Generation takes place, I believe, like 125 years after the original series.
Okay, cool.
Wait, that can't be right. No, it's like 100 years. Oh, it is right. You know why it's right? Because it takes place like 125 years after the original series, and they had a couple people mm-hmm. from the original series on a few cameo episodes.
But like they were time traveling?
Exactly.
That's
they
tight.
They were time traveling, or they were like somehow stuck in a time bubble.
Oh.
Like Scotty mm-hmm. showed up in an episode. Mm-hmm. Scotty.
Beam me up, Scotty?
Exactly. Beam me up, Scotty. There she is. Now it's a podcast. So, okay, I'm trying to think of like how to explain. Scotty was an engineer. Slash, like, he's the one that was... That's why he's always saying, like, I'm giving the role she's got, Captain. Like,
you
know,
yeah.
He's, like, in the, you know, the ship's, like, engine room.
Mm-hmm.
Not shoveling coal or anything, but he's basically saying that.
Yeah.
So the Next Generation's version of that was LeVar Burton, mm-hmm. you know, reading Rainbow Roots and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, with the advisor. Yeah,
oh, yeah. That... Yes. Okay.
And so, like, nice. Him and when Scotty came over, they're all, like, comparing notes and stuff.
Nerds.
Yeah, super nerds. And they would, I saw like a behind the scenes, they would call most of LeVar Burton's, like 70% of his lines were like hardcore techno gabble. But I forgot the actual words they used. There's like a word that the cast and everybody used for like, it's fake Star Trek science.
Uh-huh.
But the science was based on like scientific principles, but they stuck to the canon so well that it became its own science, and that certain people would be like, well, actually a photon laser wouldn't even need that. And
they took it seriously.
Yeah. And some of the episodes on Next Generation were like open source. Mm-hmm. So they would have like fans would be like, here, I have an idea for a episode. Yeah. And they'd be like, all right. Yeah, sure. But anyway, the major difference
mm-hmm.
just to backtrack is that the original series is pretty campy
mm-hmm.
and it was more of it felt like a comedy. And even though the basic premise for the original series, The Next Generation, is like, they're supposed to like, the opening is space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. It's continuing mission to, oh my God, this is going to be so big. I'm a nerd.
You got it. You got it.
No. It's continuing mission to explore new worlds and new civilizations to boldly. It's to boldly go where for original series, but no one for the 80s. There was a little bit of progress made.
80s.
It was great. It was amazing. You know, they predicted stuff. Like Picard had an iPad.
Yeah.
They had tablets. Everywhere.
I mean, they had FaceTime.
They had tablets. That was about it, really, for stuff.
But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, the big difference is that like the Next Generation was more of a dramatic, like,
oh, okay,
yeah,
like let's make this serious.
We're gonna make it serious, and it's gonna like each episode is going to deal with like philosophical and political psychological issues.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it was like really great hard sci-fi.
Cool.
Whereas like the original series, it was just like Kirk would be going around like sleeping with all these alien women and stuff.
Oh, Kirk.
Which, yeah, seriously. And like they would have like no respect for like the prime directive,
mm-hmm.
which is, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, it's basically like, can I just get the Wikipedia?
Yes.
All right.
It's fine.
It's very important, the prime directive, because it's the first directive for Star Trek.
And prime directive.
The prime directive. And it was in the first series as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk never followed it because he was more of like a renegade. Like,
I don't follow the rules.
I trust my gut. And they're like, I know what I'm doing. Which is when they get to the Next Generation, like, it's just like, oh, we're not. This isn't a joke. It's not a kid's game here.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like serious. Kirk is a lot. Like, so the prime directive is, let's see, origins, blah, 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 blah. Man, what is the actual one? Oh, there's a criticism of the prime directive. Oh, yeah, because they like, well, for Kirk never applies it. But, sorry, I sound so nerdy. Obviously.
I'm trying to follow.
Yeah, it is. Hold on, has been used in 5 of the 6 Star Trek based series.
Prime directive.
Oh yeah, here's what basically it is, not the temporal prime directive, it's the time one.
Get out of here. Okay, you don't have time for time?
This is interesting. It technically when it was first made, it was to be a criticism of the Vietnam War. I didn't know that.
Whoa.
Huh.
This is the first season?
This is for the original series.
Yeah.
So, but
maybe they were trying to be kind of like Space Smash?
It was basically like Space Smash. Exactly. Well, because here's what it was.
Space Smash.
You basically couldn't interfere with a civilization that was not at the same technological advancement as ours.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't interfere with that. Because then it would like screw up all their shit.
Got it.
Which is why when a civilization develops the ability to go warp speed, then they join the club of like, hey, you figured it out. Great.
Yeah. But if they haven't evolved yet, you leave them alone.
Like, you leave them alone.
Do you think they started that whole philosophical idea of like, I feel like that's been canon that's used before. Like, oh, if you go back in time, like, don't even move a book on a bookshelf.
Oh, like the Simpsons episode with Homer.
Yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of shows do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and then the whole thing about how like, I mean, there's like philosophical essays written on like how it's impossible to go back and kill Hitler.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I just wonder if Star Trek like came up with that idea or they stole it from philosophers.
I don't know. They might have taken it from philosophers. They might have taken it. I think, the book The Time Machine had something like that where like certain things you can't change because like, I think in The Time Machine, and I'm basing this off the crappy movie because I didn't read the book, is that his wife dies and he makes a time machine to go back to stop her murder, but he can't stop her murder because then he wouldn't have made the time machine, and it's like a loop.
Yeah.
But I like to prescribe to the Back to the Future philosophy on it of like Marty was always supposed to go back in time.
Yeah.
Also it just makes for a better movie.
Right.
I like that. I like
Do you think
yeah.
if eventually because we've never had a time person come and be like, hey, I'm from the future.
Oh yeah.
You know? But I feel like if someone came up with that technology, they would make it a point to probably go back like every year or something.
Oh yeah, it'd probably be like a pilgrimage back to
you would get like a Star Trek type of group to be like, hey, we just want you to go back every year and like tell people about this technology and be like, it's coming or
it's coming. We can't tell you. I mean, can't really help you right now. But, there have been like time travel parties I've heard of where like somebody specifically like take an ad out and the Daily Times going like, I'm having a party for time travelers.
That's so like such a rich person thing. Yeah, rich LA. They all want to come to my party. If I had a machine, I'm not going to someone's party, especially if I don't know anybody there.
Oh, that's really like, that's the main reason. Like, I don't know anybody here. Hey, I don't know anybody.
Yeah, here. It just occurred to me. Maybe all time travelers are just shy. They just
probably
don't.
Shy.
They're like around us, but they're like too nervous to come up and be hey, I'm from the year 3000.
Yeah. And everything gets better.
let's hope.
Or they might have like a rule of like, hey, don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Can, like maybe they're like, they could be in the room right now. If like all time exists at the same time. Yeah. Like, whatever.
But that's like putting a lot of faith that humanity is more civilized than we are.
And we're not.
Because if we figured it out right now, you know we would be like jumping around.
Oh, time travel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we would.
Because we're bad.
To be. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Trump? We'd be like, yeah.
Unless you say that is a example of time travel.
Time travel?
Not him, but whoever. Maybe Russia might have developed it before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe Russia's doing it.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me.
I'm imagining this episode's just like, beep, and they never heard from us again.
Yeah. Other than me and you would be like way in the future somewhere in St. Petersburg. Like, what happened? Everybody's speaking Russian. Well, you are in the future and you're in Russia.
I want a free trip to St. Petersburg.
I wouldn't mind to go. I heard it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have the world's biggest museum, don't they? The Hermitage.
Whoa.
Oh, is that in Moscow? I think it's in Moscow.
I don't know. But big museums overwhelm me.
Oh, really?
It's like, because I know I won't be able to like take it in a day. So it's like, why even try?
Yeah. Well.
But still dry.
But you ever take like, I love when I go on vacations, like I love doing the touristy shit and checking out. Like, cause first of all, if something's a touristy shit,
it means it's cool.
It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason why everybody's like, let's check out this thing.
Yeah.
And so whenever I go to like those big museums, luckily in Europe, at least they have like a thing that says like, you're not going to be able to see the whole thing. You're like the top 40.
Oh, and you just spend 40,
all day
damn.
Going like this thing. But yeah, I can see it's stressful, especially if you're on vacation.
Yeah, I like a nice like art gallery with like five pieces.
That's it? Really?
Well, I mean, maybe a little bit more, but like really like take it in. Mm-hmm. Maybe because usually like there's like little excerpts, you know, read about it.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
I like that. Well, I like the audio guides.
Oh, I've never done that.
You haven't done the audio guide.
No,
oh, that's the
I'd probably love it.
Oh, you would love it. Yeah. And you would see so much more, though, too.
Yeah, like understand more.
You'd understand more, but like also you could like walk around. Also, you could like look at the painting while some dude or woman is going like, well, see it, but you didn't notice. But, you know, there's a moose in the background. Like, oh, my God.
There is a moose in the background.
Okay. Really helps for like abstract expressionism and impressionist paintings. Cause I'm like, I don't know what he means by this. Like, oh yeah, I guess that could be a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, now I see it. Yeah.
I would take a class on like how to get the most out of art. Yeah. Cause I always feel like, I'm like, I just have to stand and like let it wash over me. Yeah. Or, I mean, some things like, instantly, I look at it, I'm like drawn to, like, that's how I do a museum. I'm like, I'm just going to walk around. If I'm drawn to it, I'll go to it.
I've like finally gotten to your point because I was always
I have
to see every one of them. And then like by the end, like we're almost out of time. I'm like, oh, wait, but those four are actually the best. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And there's another room.
There's another room. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
There's another room. Oh, they got to cubism. What the fuck was I doing here?
Yeah, I feel like my goal is I want to walk the entire building and then, but like, yeah,
oh,
but only just get drawn.
The whole build? Have you done you've been to LACMA, right?
Yeah, that's too big.
That is big, but I've seen everything there now because I've been there like,
Times. Some of the stuff stays and then they have like moving stuff.
Some of the stuff, like now I'm at a point where I'm like, it used to be like, I need to get everything from it. And now I'm like, oh, wait, I'm here to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I should just stroll.
Yeah. But it's hard. It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
But it's cool.
It's really cool. But that's why the British Museum has like everything in it. Because they took it from everybody. But they are the ones that you get there and like the guy right at the front is like, you're not going to see everything. But here's the audio guide. Audio guides are free there.
Oh, yeah. Game changer.
Yeah, game changer. I mean, suggested donation, but And I gave, I think I got a few euros, which is like $30 now.
Hey, that's nice. I would have given a euro.
No, a euro. I was flip joking. Euro. Three euros is like $3. But yeah, I'd flip a euro.
Flip a euro. There you go, man.
Yeah. The only bad thing about audio guides, though, is you'd see, like, they have like a number next to the art.
And you type in the number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is great.
That makes sense.
But then, like, I would say about an eighth of the time, I'll see an amazing painting and there's like no number. And it'd just be like, this guy painted it here. And I was, and I'd be like,
But
like, what's the context? Is like, there's a really good one. But anyway, Star Trek. We could tie it into museums.
Yeah. Is there a museum episode? They go to a museum for a day.
Well, there is they have a thing called the holodeck.
Okay.
Which is, have you heard about the holodeck?
Go on.
You don't know. Okay. So the holodeck is like basically this room on the Enterprise.
Okay.
That it recreates any place in history.
Mm-hmm.
And also recreates any person in history. So there's a character named Data, who's an android.
Robot,
exactly. his whole thing for the Next Generation is like him trying to know what it's like to be a human.
Aww. Right?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, and he loves cats. You would love this character.
Oh, this is my favorite character.
Oh my God, what's his cat's name? He has a cat, yeah. Aww. The whole season. The whole
now, I'm gonna watch this now.
He's got a cat that's just like is Cooper the orange one?
Yeah, Cooper. Yeah,
it's literally like Cooper. Wait, I gotta go find this.
I wonder if it's that famous cat that was in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Have you heard about this cat?
No, but wouldn't it be dead by the...
Probably. But there was this cat. They needed like a mean cat. So they found this cat off the streets.
It was really mean?
It was really mean.
Okay.
But it like went on to be in several movies.
Several movies?
It won like awards.
Really?
Yeah.
I think a dog once got nominated for an Oscar.
I would love an animal to win an Oscar.
They should.
Sometimes they're great.
So Data. Okay, I guess gotta find his cast name. God damn it. depiction. Let's see. Because then also it's where I learned that I guess cats like walking on keyboards or something.
Yes.
I didn't know that. And there's like a whole thing where Data's always like, my cat keeps walking all over my walking all over my keyboard.
That's a good bit.
I should have typed in Data's
cat. It's a serious robot. It's not like an alfalfa where it's like, ay, ay, ay.
What is his name? Alpha 5?
Alpha 5.
Yeah. It's not like, oh my God. No, he's a serious one.
Aww.
And he's got, there's so much to cover here. I'm just trying to go quick. So he's some of my favorite episodes because there's one episode where Data is on trial because, not to see if he is an actual living thing, because a scientist from the Federation says, well, we want to study him because he's so intelligent and he's a piece of property. So we, the Federation owns him so we can take him. And Data says like, but I think I'm alive. And then the whole episode is Jean-Luc Picard is defending Data to say what it is to be alive, to be a human.
Wow.
And that's
deep.
Oh, it's super deep. Yeah. There's this great, it's called The Measure of a Man. I think is it?
That's the name of the episode.
Yeah. They're not that clever when it comes to that stuff. But I just want to find out what Data's cat's name, because I think it's some science joke. I know it's not Schrodinger. Oh, no, never mind. It's Spot.
That's such a stupid name.
Yeah, that is.
Schrodinger would be fun, but be also like very Spot. On the nose.
It's a recurring character on a bunch of episodes. It's a tabby.
Yeah. Cute.
But anyway, I brought up Data because the holodeck, because he at one episode like they conjure up Stephen Hawking, Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton. They're all playing like poker for some reason.
Did they really get Stephen Hawking?
They did. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and also on the holodeck. They have like a whole Sherlock Holmes thing going on.
Oh.
They do the whole Sherlock Holmes episode, and then Moriarty becomes sentient and like takes over the ship.
Whoa.
But because Picard is so like smart and intelligent and values discoveries, he says like we can't shut him down because he's a living thing, which is the exact opposite of what Kirk would do.
Yeah, Kirk would be like, I'm in charge.
He would just pour water. I'd be like,
if it's not a woman, get rid of her.
Yeah, really. And if it is, make sure she doesn't have any type of responsibility or something.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Yeah. But like, my classic example is like, there's an episode of the original series where some monster on board and it like kills some of the crew. And like Kirk just like takes a gun out, like, we gotta kill this thing. And everybody's
like, God.
Yeah. Whereas in Picard, there's like this weird cloud entity that murders like half the crew.
Oh, wow.
But Picard's like, wait, this is alive. It has intelligence. We can't just kill it. It's alive. And they find out it is alive and they realize it just didn't know whatever. And they're like,
I'm sorry.
They're like, I'm sorry. I
didn't realize.
I don't know. And like, doesn't kill him. It's Star Trek The Next Generation is the only show where you're rooting for the captain to find a diplomatic solution.
That's cool. I feel like that's something like we don't. I don't know. Maybe there's a show on TV right now.
I don't know about any. But
I think a lot of it right now is like.
Yeah.
Just all dark, like,
it's all dark and
kill
murdering.
And murdery. Yeah.
There's no, like, this is like, it's
revenge, not like diplomat. Like,
it's not diplomatic revenge.
Disgust.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The only character that is like that is Worf, who is a Klingon.
And they have a temper, right?
They do.
Okay.
So they're like they're space Vikings, basically.
Tight.
Right? Yeah. And Worf. In the original series, the Klingons were enemies of the Federation of Planets.
They just hated everybody else?
Yeah, like Federation Planets hated the Klingons and they hated the Romulans, who were like the opposite of the Vulcans, who is what... sorry.
No, it's okay.
Who is what Spock was.
Okay.
So Spock.
I like Spock.
Spock's cool, right? So he's half Vulcan.
Okay.
But he's very like he's logical.
He's half human, half Vulcan?
Yeah, I think his mom was... Yeah, I think his mom was human.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically Romulus is like the planet. They're just a bunch of dicks for some reason.
Okay.
But anyway, and then actually, since Vulcans live so long, Spock makes an appearance in The Next Generation. There's like a whole thing about like how him and Data are basically parallels. Because Spock's always trying to find out like what it is to be human.
Yeah,
because
he struggles too.
He struggles all the time because he's like, you know, autistic and stuff.
Basically.
I mean, like, he's like, that's not logical.
Yeah. I remember from the movie, like, over the movies, he's in love with someone, and she's always like...
Oh, Uhura from the new movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting is in the series, that was originally Kirk and Uhura.
Ah.
Yeah. But I think Spock had a lot of trouble with relationships because of that. But I think it worked out. I don't know. I don't know that much about it.
It does. Yeah. I think it works out. It's just like his like always being following logic hurts the relationship. Or like she has to like over communicate like, hey, these are my needs. You need to meet them. And he's like, but I must go sacrifice myself to save everybody because that's how it's been. But I love you. What? Gotta go.
Really? I can't deal with that. Baby, don't hurt me. But in the... In Wrath of Khan, well, let me just get back to The Next Generation.
There's
a whole universe. No, it's totally fine. So Worf is a security detail after Tasha Yar, the first lieutenant of security. She dies. In real life, the reason why she left the show was she had a great time on the show, but she got cast in the movie Pet Sematary. And it was like... Fuck TV.
This
at the time.
Is the game. Yeah, everybody wanted to be in the movies.
Yeah, and she's like, screw TV. This is the game changer. She leaves The Next Generation, which ends up being one of the most popular shows of all time, to do Pet Sematary. Nothing, and then her career kind of goes down. But because the people on The Next Generation liked her so much, they brought her back, even though she died through like one of the like a time episode, alternate universe episode.
That's a cool thing with sci-fi.
Yeah, and it's a great thing with sci-fi. You can always bring somebody back.
You should always aim to just audition for sci-fi shows. So, you know.
I mean, occasionally fantasy, like Game of Thrones, you know, like which can bring you back. Probably, unless they cut your head off or something.
Yeah.
But Data also hooked up with Tasha Yar.
What? Because
there's an episode where like there's
he wants to feel so bad.
Yeah. Well, no, Data.
I must have sex.
Yeah. Because well, he like, does what he's told and stuff, but also he's trying to discover things. And like, there's an episode where everybody's super horny. I think it's the second episode because there's like some weird gas leak or something, and everybody's like, oh man, look, we're all banging. Data is not affected.
But he's like, now's my chance.
Yeah, he's like, we walks and like Tasha Yar is like, hey, like Data, are you like, do you know like how to bang and stuff? And he literally says like, I am fully functional in all techniques.
Oh,
he hooks up with her and then has feelings.
Aww. So then attachment, imprinting.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's like, when she dies, she falls into like a weird like tar pit. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. Anyway, when she dies, and then he's on trial for like, am I a human? They ask him, like, why do you still have a picture of Tasha Yar? What's the logic behind that? He's like, I don't know. I guess it makes me feel. Like, oh, okay, Goosebumps is talking about it. Like, he's like, close. Yeah.
I want to play this character.
Oh, you should like Lady Data.
Yeah, Lady Data.
Lady Data, yeah. But okay, so then the other character. What?
No, I feel.
And he always goes, intriguing. Captain. And then there's an episode actually where Data wants to understand Hugh more. And like, he doesn't talk like that.
And then he goes and does stand up.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. Whoopi Goldberg is a recurring character on the Next Generation.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, she's like from this race, this like, that doesn't die, and her name is I gotta look it up. I'm such a bad nerd. And I think I feel like Whoopi Goldberg, her character might have hooked up with
Data.
No, Picard.
Oh, Picard. Ooh.
But Data did hook up with the Borg Queen at one point.
So now, Data hooks up with
he does pretty well. An evil twin brother.
Named
Lore. But
does Lore frequently sneak onto the ship, or where is Lore?
Well, Lore they run into like near where Data was built by his creator, his father. Mm-hmm. But Lore was like, they gave Lore like emotions or like some kind of emotion chip or something.
Oh,
and
Lore's
like a total dick.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Data wants to feel, and Lore is all emotion.
Yeah. Lore is like all emotion. It's the equivalent of the
Vulcan Romulan relationship.
Okay, wait. Here's a cast. Come on. Oh, Guinan. See, Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoa, that wasn't like her start, was it?
No, it was. She was already, I think, big.
She's
already
doing
comic relief and stuff.
Yeah,
but I think it was before Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was, because like she was like the bartender. So there's a bar on the
ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they serve like synthahol, which is like, yeah. But it's not as good, or there's like non-alcoholic. It's like all non-alcoholic, which makes no sense to me.
So they go to drink, but they don't get drunk. And
it's just for them to like hang out.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's like the cool, funny bartender.
She's a cool, funny bartender, but that has had like been alive for like millions of years, and all the time, like, we've never encountered this. And she'd be like, I encountered this.
Go on.
Okay. I don't know how to like, what should we talk about the best? I'll tell you my, what's up?
Oh, so is this all taking place in the future? Like,
yes. It all takes place in the year, let me go back to this.
2015.
So 2014? No. it takes place in, here it is, Space Defiant. Oh, I almost got it right. It's continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. Great soundtrack.
Yeah. The music is good.
Yeah. Let's see. What year? It's like 2155.
Okay.
I think.
So we won't be alive when that happens.
No, I think it's in the 2300s. I believe. And here's a very confusing thing. One of the main bad guys are the Cardassians.
That's fun.
Yeah. They're like super dicks, and they're like kind of like the enemies of the, what's it called? Oh, hey, buddy.
Selma just licked Jason's hand.
It's cool. I did have granola earlier.
Oh.
Might be that.
Yeah.
I just want to know the year. Well.
Is that a family that... Or is that a type of race?
It's a type of race. Mm-hmm. And they're just real asses. but the cool thing is like, Worf has, like, you know, prejudice to deal with because he is a Klingon. And they're all, like they just kind of solved their... Mm-hmm. They just became part of the Federation. They're all cool and stuff. But, like, that's what it is. He's, like, the first member of Starfleet, like, on that ship to be Klingon, and people are like, I don't know about Klingon.
Yeah.
And then, like, eventually everybody, like, loves him.
And then is Picard like, I accept you.
Oh, immediately
we
Picard
accept
is
everybody.
Like, yeah.
He's so cool.
So here's the cool thing about The Next Generation is that it's one of the few utopian sci-fi societies. They assume that humans, like by this point, they say that there's humans, there's no war between humans, there's no class disparity, there's no money, and everybody's just like working towards science.
Cool.
And like their headquarters are, I shit you not, San Francisco. Seriously.
So are there ever any San Francisco episodes?
There's an episode where, yeah, there's a, I think there's a couple where they go, yeah, because when they go to Starfleet Academy.
Okay.
Because there's like a, here's a, the character that nobody likes, even though he's like a really cool dude in real life. And like, he kind of grew on me a little bit, is Wesley, played by Will Wheaton, who's like a big in the Twitterverse. And I think he's had cameos and shit on Big Bang Theory or whatever.
Cool.
But he, at the time, is like a 15-year-old kid, and he's the son of the medical officer, Dr. Crusher, who Picard, like, totally bones.
And Dr. Crusher?
Dr. Crusher. She's hot. Gates McFadden.
Like, I got a crush on her.
Yeah, I have a crush on her. Yeah, that's a Sean Connery impression. Here's a weird thing. Jean-Luc Picard's French, but he sounds like Patrick Stewart.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a... Okay, wait, what are we talking... Oh, yeah. So Wesley, he goes to Starfleet after, but he's like a kid on board. And he's like a kid genius. And half the time, like there's like a good six episodes where he's like, I was just tinkering with the machine. They're like, you just opened a wormhole to the death dimension.
Oh, yeah. That's real annoying.
It's so annoying. And yeah. Every time, I think it's... Because that's almost a catchphrase is people saying, damn it, Wesley. And he's like, man, I'm really sorry. And then,
I'm a genius, but I'm a fucker.
He's like, oh, man. And then, like, oh, but like, Wesley's dad died because of like a decision Picard made, but like, he had to make that decision. And there's like a little weird shit with that. But you see Starfleet then when he goes to Starfleet Academy. And whenever they get reprimanded, they're like, they go back to San Francisco. And that's why in the movie, and it's always been that way because in the original series, like in the movies, they go to San Francisco. There's a great – the Star Trek 5 is one of my favorite. I think – is it 5? No. The one with the whales is always fun. It's like a really good fun time. And
Wait, that they go to San Francisco and see whales?
Technically, yes. But it's about – there's like this race of aliens that communicates with whales.
Oh,
because
cool.
The whales are dying out.
Oh, no.
When the whales become extinct in like the – 24th century or something, the aliens are like, well, I guess this planet doesn't have any intelligent life anymore. We should probably blow it up. and then the Star Trek original series crew has to go back in time and save the whales.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I guess we should blow it up.
That's pretty much the plot line of that. But I viewed, let's see, should we talk about the other characters or how are we on time?
We're so good. Great.
So, try to go. Oh man, I should prepare for this. I feel like I'm just word vomiting. But so you got the main crew is Captain Picard, Riker, who he calls like number one. He's like his second in command, which I guess is confusing when you keep calling him number one. But he's awesome.
Yeah,
he's like the Han Solo of Star Trek: The Next Generation. He's like always like hooking up with different ladies, and he's like, but he's like smart and shit, and also, in real life, Jonathan Frakes, he plays the trombone.
Oh.
Made it a point that, like, Riker, like, just kicks ass at the trombone. And there's this whole...
He's just, like, down in the bar playing it?
Down in the bar playing it in the holodeck. Like, he, like... Because he has a fling with... what's her name? Diana... Troy. Yeah, so... I'll just go through it. So, you got Riker, then you have Troy... Lieutenant Troy, who I believe it's Lieutenant Troy, who's an empath. She's half human and half like this other race where basically she can like tell people's feelings if people are lying, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
But the main thing, a lot of times she's like, it's pointless because they'll be like, they'll have somebody on like the visual screen going
FaceTime,
basically FaceTime, right? But in front of the bridge crew. Being like, we're really angry about this, you know, and we're gonna like fuck shit up, and then Trevor be like, I'm sensing aggression, and like, no shit, like half the time, it's like, yeah, I could see that,
yeah.
And then you have LeVar Burton, who is Geordi LaForge, the engineer. Then you have Michael Dorn, who's Worf, the security officer,
Klingon.
Warrior Viking Klingon. Crusher, the medical officer. And then you got, who else do you have? Then you have like the side characters like Guinan, who's Whoopi Goldberg. Mm-hmm. You have Q, who is the very first episode of Star Trek. Humanity is on trial.
Ooh.
Because Q, this like God space dude who's pretty funny, like is like, I'm gonna destroy every like the whole all of you people, because like tell me why I shouldn't. Like, this is like Picard's first day on the job, like it's the new crew of the Enterprise.
Wow.
And he's like shit. And it's a two-part, like 2-hour mm-hmm. philosophical treatise on why humans deserve to be alive.
It's a 2-hour episode?
It's like, yeah. It's
hell yeah. Yeah,
it was great. It was unbelievable.
And you would say like that first episode like mm-hmm. hooks people in?
It does.
That's cool. Because there's nothing worse than people being like, this show is great. You got to give it like 3.5 seasons.
Oh, that's
and then
the
you'll
worst.
Love it.
I hate
like,
that.
I don't got time for that.
I don't have time at all.
I want to get hooked in right away.
Need a hook. Yeah, exactly. So the good thing is, yeah, I hate when people say that. They're like, well, you know, actually after episode 8, it's pretty good. I'm like, that's 8 hours?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. And you have to watch it so you like can understand all the characters.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
See, the cool thing about Star Trek Next Generation is that it's what do they call that? It's not like, it's like, it's not
you can,
linear.
You can like jump in different
yeah,
episodes.
Once you,
sweet, so I can just watch all the data episodes.
Although there are a couple story arcs that are like, you'd have to know things a little bit. There's like, it's like the equivalent of like, like Seinfeld or something.
Okay, but even then it's like then you're just like that. Oh, it looks like those characters are together right now, or yeah. Oh, it looks like that character has a new job or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, the worst character in all of Star Trek Next Generation is Worf as a kid.
It sounds like they're bad at writing kids.
They're terrible at writing kids, because he has a kid named Alexander who's
Alexander.
Like, yeah, like he's like Alexander. Like, he like hooks up with this
Alexander does?
No. Worf hooks up with this like lady Klingon, and Worf wants to get married to her, and he's like, because like he like mates with her, he's like, we have made it, we have to join souls as a female warrior, male warrior combat. And then she's like half human. There's like so many half humans.
Yeah.
And she's like look, like this was great. But and then she leaves, and then comes back like a few years later, and she's like, I have your kid. And Alexander's like, I don't even want to be here. And that's him the whole time, is this little shit. And then the mom dies, and Worf's like, I will look after you, Alexander.
Oh,
and then
my
he's like
gosh.
Trying to teach Alexander like the ways of the Klingon, and be like, you have to fight. Like,
I don't want to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to.
Yeah, and he's like, this is stupid. I don't want to hold a Klingon battle axe. And he's like, oh, come on, Alexander. And then like half the time, like Picard and the other dudes are like, hey, you got to like maybe like reach out to the kids or something. He's like, oh, I'm really trying. It's a funny show.
That's great.
Yeah. And then, what else happened? So Geordi's also blind.
Geordi
LaForge, sorry. LeVar Burton's character is blind, so he has the visor.
He's
but like,
does the visor doesn't help him see?
No, it has him see all the other spectrums.
Oh, cool.
Some kind of cruel test of fate. Test of fate? Cruel twist.
Fate.
He sees all the other spectrums and like is able to like detect stuff, but it like looks kind of like, you ever see the movie Predator?
Long time ago.
It looks like heat vision.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like that. Yeah. And then there's like an episode where like he gets some of his sight back because they're at like some weird healing area, but he'd have to remain there. And he's like, well, I can't do that. And I want to be on the ship and like,
I would miss
shit.
You all.
Yeah. Oh, he's best friends with Data because he's an engineer and Data's a robot, and they're like best buds.
Nerds. I love it.
It's super nerds. And like Data sometimes has like weird malfunctions with his positronic neural net, which is his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And like LaForge will sometimes be like, I don't know this shit. And like, so they're like best friends.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty rad. What else? Crusher's cool, but like, oh yeah, she's a widow, so that's why she's like depressed a lot.
It makes sense why Picard would be attracted to her, because he's like, I can make her happy.
I can make her happy. He also has like, he feels guilty because like her husband died, and it kind of, maybe was like kind of his fault a little bit.
Oh,
like, and he's like
drama.
Yeah. But the best parts about the Next Generation are the like, I considered it. So the way I got into it
mm-hmm.
was right after college. I got my wisdom teeth taken out.
And you're like,
and I had like a week off.
Yeah.
And I was on a lot of painkillers. And I went like, oh, the whole Next Generation is on Netflix? And my uncle would always be like, oh man, this show's fucking great.
And you like your uncle?
Yeah, I love my uncle. Oh, okay. And he at that point he passed on, but like, he's a cool dude, but he was like super into Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe I'll check it out. And then I just got hooked.
Yeah.
And so there are 187 one-hour episodes. So it took me about a year to get through it.
Yeah.
And I considered it like a philosophy class because there's episodes dealing with like...
I would probably love this.
You would love this show. Oh, it's so good.
I didn't know there was a cat, too.
Oh, there's a cat. Oh,
cat,
Scott.
Cat philosophy.
Yeah. Cat philosophy.
Space.
Space.
Yeah, I will... probably start watching.
Great relationships between characters.
Yeah.
There's an episode where Picard, one of the main bad guys on the Next Generation is the Borg.
Okay.
And their whole thing, it's another philosophical thing. Their whole thing is like they're these part machine things, but they're part of a hive and they hate individuality.
Oh.
And
so
their whole thing is to make the entire universe Borg.
Borg.
Which are these robotic drone people. And they capture Picard and torture him. And he has like this POW thing. And he becomes a Borg.
Whoa.
And they eventually, it's like a three-part episode, they eventually save Picard.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, he has like PTSD the rest of the time.
Oh, damn.
It's just like this
fucked up.
This is such a good episode where like he's back on his, they're on like a leave or something.
Yeah.
He's on his chateau at his brother's place and shit.
Yeah.
And he's just like there's a point where he like breaks down crying and he's like, they took everything from me.
Because
they made him do things and like kill people in the Enterprise kill like entire human civilizations.
Yeah. that'll really mess you up.
It fucked him up for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so that was a really good one. There's also one where like Worf reclaims his father's honor. They're really into honor in the Klingons. Into the honor stuff. there's a crazy Jesus episode. There's a Klingon Jesus.
What?
That they find out like is fake.
So wait, there's a guy walking around being like, I'm Klingon Jesus.
Well, there's they have the version of Klingon Jesus and he comes back.
Okay.
And this guy really, this guy does a lot of good and stuff, but then they find out like, oh, there actually never was a Klingon Jesus. It's just, like, this is like a recreation of matter based on that.
Yeah.
And then Worf's like, we should not tell my people because he's doing too much good. And they're like, maybe the belief is better than the myth is better than the truth. And he's like, yes. And then it like ends.
Whoa.
And they just like go with it. And they do the same thing. Oh, it's so good. They do another one. Oh, I shouldn't ruin it for you. Yeah. Well, by the time you get there, this is like,
Season 5 and stuff, you'll be
fine. So Data's mom shows up. And he has a mom in the sense of like, Data was built by this scientist who I forgot. Like, I think it's like something Noonan or something. His brother and the scientist were played by Brent Spiner.
Whoa.
He's great.
Yeah. Amazing.
And you might recognize him from, he was in Independence Day as the crazy scientist. I think. Yeah, no, he was.
I feel like...
get glasses.
Yeah.
And like Igor type hair a little bit.
Okay.
He's like, we're talking about aliens.
Oh,
like,
Yeah.
Anyway, so they find out that like, oh, it wasn't just this guy that built you. Half of you was built by this lady. It's like so she would be like a mother to me.
I must meet her.
Yeah, and so like he meets his mom and then they find out that the mother is like dying.
Hmm.
Which sucks. And then they find out like, well, the mother actually is just a robot based on the woman that his father was like married to and shit and built her. But no, she was always a robot. That was the thing. Oh, yeah. She was always a robot and she was dying. And Data finds out that she was always a robot and is like, I have to tell her it is the truth, but she is dying. Like there's something with the robot brain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but if I tell her, it would ruin her entire life. So I must lie for the good of her soul. Or like, you know, and then like, it's like, he's just like sitting with her and stuff.
Yeah.
And, oh no, I think maybe it was that like they could be like, well, we could actually cure her. She's a robot. But it's,
right. But then she would
thinking she's human. Exactly. And so he was like just holding her going like, yes, you are a human. Yes, yes. And then, like, she dies, and he's like, he just has to live. Like, he
that's
just.
That's so weird and interesting.
It's very. It's like, oh, I guess, like, sometimes, like, the dream's better, and, like, you, like, you know.
Right.
It reminded me. See, at one point, I got way too into Star Trek because I remember.
Going to the conventions?
No, I didn't go to. There weren't any near me. I would totally go. I got like, but I bring that up only because at the time I think my dad's mom was dying and she died, and she didn't know that she was dying, but like my dad did because she found it like a week before.
Oh, yeah, my or dad, he found out.
He but found out because he's a doctor and like they talk to each other. No, he was like looking at the things. He found out like a month before, and he's like, oh, there's no way that she'll make it out of this. And she was like, I mean, she lived a long time. She was about 91.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and
so he was just like, let's give her a nice week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also I was like, she was saying like, oh, am I going to be all right? And he's like, oh, yeah, you're going to be fine.
Interesting.
And then I told him like, you know, Dad, it reminds me of the Star Trek episode. And I told him about it. He's like, yeah, it is kind of like that. Yeah.
Except it's my mother.
Oh, no, he didn't say that though because he's such a nice guy. He's like, yeah, good point. And then I'm like, yeah, I think I helped my dad. And now looking back, I'm like, what a shit.
So
he was like, yeah, it is like it's my like... fucking mom is what I. Oh my god, if I was in my kid, if my mom was on him, I'd be like, yeah, it's whatever show you're watching, whatever. Yeah, Westworld, yeah. Sure.
I like that your dad's like, I must protect my mother and
my dumbass son, and go like, yeah, I see what you're saying. Trying to be helpful here.
But that's an interesting dilemma, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like when you have that knowledge, it's.
Do you tell the brother?
Because I feel like that's like a conversation you want to have with somebody before they reach that point.
Yeah.
It's the same with like, you know, like, oh, if you were to die, do you want to
pull the plug? Kind
like, of pull the plug, cremated, right. Bury, you know, like all those stuff. Like, I feel like that's another thing to be like, yeah. Do you want to know?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
See, that's interesting. I think with. I guess they give it to, they tell the parents or the whoever's in charge or something. Cause like, I wonder if it's just you, I bet the doctor has to tell you.
Yeah.
Right. But I guess if it's the
whoever the caregiver is,
I guess whoever the caregiver, like, yeah, hey, look, you can tell them or not.
I wonder. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I also found out like, and this is not going to get him in trouble. I don't think, but like you know, like assisted suicide and all that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a general rule among hospitals, apparently, in the 70s, 80s, even now,
yeah,
that, like, basically, like, if somebody's well past the point and they want to die, like, instead doctors will just be like, here's a morphine drip, and there might be something wrong with it if you just keep, you know.
Keep pushing
it? Yeah, because most doctors are like, cool. At that point, you're doing more harm by this person wants to die and is like, oh, man, he's just in pain. It's like, yeah. Just give him all the drugs and let him go.
Yeah.
So like,
I thought you were going to be like, there's the plug.
There's the plug if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
So remember the whole Dr. Kevorkian thing happening?
And yeah, like, but that was more like, I'll do it, right?
Yeah, he was.
He like, wasn't being like, here's the button.
No, and he was also, but some people weren't able to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And like some of the people, like I think euthanasia should be legal. If
I think by the time we get old, I think it's going to be like legal.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which
we'll have an app for.
We're going to have parties.
Oh yeah.
Time travelers come to my death party.
Now then they would show up for sure.
Hell yeah, dude.
Come for the fucking punch. I mean, don't drink the punch. Don't drink that punch. Oh God.
It's only for me. Oh no,
it's only
my
for
friends.
Me. I wanted to make a bowl of it. Not my friends. Yeah, but it's, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So those are the main characters, Riker and Troy. Yeah, you would love it because, like, Riker and Troy get together, the empath.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of romance going on in this workplace.
There's tons. There's no sexual harassment, really.
That's good.
Which is good.
Because, you know, William Shatner's gone.
Oh, he...
Well, I mean, like,
oh, from
his
back
character.
Then? Oh, yeah.
That I'm sure you go back to that season.
You're like,
A lot of the characters would be like, he makes me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. And there was, like, a lot of stuff that didn't make any sense. Like, all the women had, like, short skirts and dressed like 60s women.
Of course.
But, like futuristic. And then,
Space Mash.
Yeah, it was basically Space Mash. And then the next generation, everybody's, like, dressed very, like... Pants and, like, this is the most efficient way to dress.
To dress, yeah.
It's actually a cool episode of Next Generation where they follow side characters.
Mm-hmm.
And like three of them die. And it's only, it's through their eyes of what it's like to be on the Enterprise. And then you realize, like, oh, every time, like, people die on the Enterprise, like, it's a big deal, technically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's another episode where Worf gets paralyzed from the neck down because, like, a box or something. And he's like, I need to kill myself.
Oh.
But, like, and he turns to Riker and he's like, you need to kill me. He's like, I'm not gonna do that. He's like, but I, in Klingon, we have the right to die. Like,
yeah.
No, that's the thing. It's like, you can't kill yourself if you're a Klingon. You need somebody to do it for you.
Oh.
And then eventually he's like, okay, I won't kill myself. And then somehow they're like, oh, wait, your back's not broken. For some reason.
And then is he fucked up the rest of the season being like, I almost killed myself?
He like,
or is he like, oh, okay.
He's like, all right. See, he has relationship problems too because he like is super like aggro kind of.
Yeah, it seems like it's hard to connect with somebody when you're aggro all the time.
He's aggro all the time. It's interesting because he was adopted by Russian parents. Love him. But when they get there, when they like show up, they're like, these are your parents. They're like, oh, we love Waterfall. We love you so much. Blah, blah. And he's like, mom, dad, come on. Like, you work with these people.
Be professional.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we used to make pierogies. He was a little monkey. We love him. And he's like, oh, God. They're very colorful people, my parents.
Single tear when no one's looking.
Yeah. Emotions. That's like so many characters in Next Generation is somebody going, emotions or emotions? It's all that.
That's great.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. A great series finale.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. And there's the movies.
So the movies... yeah, because I feel like the movies are like Star Trek Next Generation, so they're based off that.
Yeah, so the new ones are based on the original series.
Okay.
Yeah, which is Kirk.
Yeah.
And Spock.
Yeah.
From the 60s.
Yeah,
the Next Generation had a series of movies in the 90s that were hugely successful. Well, one of them really sucked, and then the other one was like, it was okay. But the movie, Star Trek First Contact, is, in my opinion, the best Star Trek movie, although I haven't seen Wrath of Khan the whole way through. That's the one where Spock and that they based the latest one on, where Spock is like has to sacrifice himself.
Yeah. That's one that came out a few years ago.
Yeah. That one. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. But that one is based on,
it's one from the 80s. Remake.
But it was the opposite, because in the one that came out a few years ago, I think Kirk sacrifices himself and Spock's like, dude, don't fucking do it. Whereas in Wrath of Khan, Spock is in like this nuclear chamber and he has to like hold a button down so that everybody lives, but he dies. And
yeah.
That's where he has the line of like, the fate of the many outweigh the fate of the few. Yeah. And then he's like, Spock, no. And then, so Spock dies.
Oh, okay.
But he's brought back like,
oh, yeah.
Here's what happens. He dies and he has this great funeral with Scotty playing bagpipes and Kirk gives this.
Was the trombone guy there?
No, that's Next Generation.
Ah, damn.
Yeah,
they could have had a band.
They could have had a whole band. So Scotty's doing like playing Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. Like,
oh, beautiful.
And Kirk gives this eulogy. That's so awesome that I actually used
at a funeral
at my uncle's funeral.
Oh, well, that's fitting because he likes Star Trek.
Because he likes Star Trek. And it ends where he's like talking about Spock and he's like, of all the souls I ever met in this universe, his was the most human. And then shoot his coffin into space. And luckily, you find out this coffin lands on like a god planet. And he gets like
incarnated?
Like reanimated.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Like not dead anymore.
Wow.
But audiences didn't know that for like 6 years. They're like, oh, yeah, he's dead.
So
for 6 years, it was like, yeah, Spock's dead because it was now, just movies at that point.
Was Star Trek like planning to bring him back at some point? Or they were like,
I think they want to make another movie. And then they were like, yeah, we should bring Spock back.
Everyone likes Spock.
Everybody likes Spock. Why don't we do that? Yeah.
But I guess it is cool to have the movie end being like,
oh,
he's dead. Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, wait. Do you know that movie that just came out? A certain Marvel movie? Did you see it?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. But
never mind. Nothing.
Okay. Well,
do you know anything?
I know like a lot of people die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. It's not much I can tell you without spoiling a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people died.
Maybe I should go see it.
It's good.
Yeah. I mean, when I got MoviePass, I was now I'm going to get back on the Avengers train because I was getting to a point where I was like, there's too many.
40. There's 40 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when it comes to all the different nerd movies.
That is pick your franchise.
Yeah. Well, and it's just hard for my brain to remember and care.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like every time I go to an Avengers movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember these guys. What's going on again?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I definitely felt watching when I got into it, but watching the Avengers for the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, yeah. Why do I give a shit? And even though I saw a bunch of movies, but then I really latched on to I love Thor.
I love Hulk.
Hulk's great. Oh, he's got great
Hulk's
stuff.
Hulk's my
favorite. Yeah. Did you see Thor Ragnarok?
No, and I hear it's very funny.
Love that movie. It's just a comedy, and it's still my favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, awesome.
It's just straight up, it's just a comedy the whole time.
Yeah, I love a good that they're funny.
They're really funny, and Hulk, it's basically a buddy cop comedy with Hulk and Thor. Yeah, it's great.
I need to see it.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. And it's Taika Waititi.
Is that the director?
Yeah, director. He's in New Zealand. He did Hunt for the Wilder People, which is a great movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That's a really good one with Sam Neill. And he did, did you see What We Do in the Shadows? Oh, you would love that. That's on, I think it might be on Netflix, but it's these vampires that are, it's a mockumentary about these vampires living today in, what's the capital of New Zealand? Wellington or something?
Do they all have New Zealand accents?
Yeah, they're all New Zealand. Well, okay, two of them do.
And then one's a classic vampire.
Yeah. And he's played by Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's the.
Oh, shit. I need to see it.
And Taika Waititi directed it and is also one of the New Zealand type vampires.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And
I'll have to check out this.
You would love it. Yeah. What's his name's in it? Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
Uh-huh.
He plays a werewolf.
Perfect.
And that's where he has a line where him and his werewolf buddies are hanging out and one of them's like, oh, fuck. And he's like, hey, man. It's like, well, werewolves, not swearwolves. Come on. The hill.
Stupid.
Oh, you would love this
Such
movie.
A stupid line.
Oh, it's
love
so good.
It.
It's so good. Oh, it's so great.
I feel like after this podcast, no one's going to hear from me for a month. Much content.
And I could make a list probably for you for great Next Generation episodes. One of the best ones has to do with time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuck in a time loop.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, and it screwed with me because me and my buddy were kind of high when we watched it. The episode starts and the Enterprise, they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Whatever. And it's a code red. Whatever.
Yeah.
And Enterprise blows up.
And you guys are like,
What? We're like, what? And then it starts over with the same intro and credits. And we're like, is there something wrong with the link?
I got you, babe.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, but it's still the credits restart. We're like, shit. Okay. Then it happens again. And I'm like, wait, what? And then it turns out it's they're stuck in this time warp and they have to.
Credits?
Yeah, with credits. Yeah. And somehow, I can't ruin it for you. But they don't know how to. No one knows. What's happening? Because it's
It keeps. And they're just reacting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Except.
Shit. Oh, data.
Oh, I can't tell you.
The cat.
No, that would be great, but it has to do with that, with the cat a little bit.
Oh.
There's a relation there that is how they kind of get out of it.
Cool.
I mean, they get out of it.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, one thing I want to talk about, and then we can go wherever. About Star Trek is, and it's a big debate among Trekkies. Is they have the whole teleportation thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they say, beam me up is when they get beamed up.
Yeah.
And I guess the big question about it is they say basically when you get transported, you get evaporated and then your particles get sent or particles get wherever you're teleporting to. Let's say I'm going to teleport to the arc light. Then whatever matters around the arc light, since we're carbon and whatever, just becomes Jason over there.
Got it. And then Jason matter here
ceases
just kind of
be.
Just is kind of now in my apartment.
Yeah, it's
becoming now I'm guitar, now I'm
now,
cat,
there's
water, air.
Yeah. And the question is, does that mean you die every time you're in the teleporter?
Right.
Which means when you're watching Star Trek The Next Generation, you're every episode, multiple times, they're just dying over and over again.
Right.
Are they, though?
I don't know.
I don't know. See? I mean, that's a big issue on, like, souls.
And... Yeah. And it there's an episode where, like, they call it your signal. They're like, okay,
we're getting a signal?
Sometimes they, like, lose the signal of the person in the teleport. And then they're gone forever.
Whoa. So it's like a risk.
It's a risk. Technically, every time you do it, usually it's totally fine. But about one out of every 50 episodes, they're like, the signal is weak.
And oh, no.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
One time Riker does it, and they got him, and he's fine. But it turns out his signal split, and then another Riker appeared somewhere else.
Whoa.
And then the whole, then runs into them, and he's like, no, I'm Riker. He's like, no, I'm Riker. You're Riker 2.
Oh.
It turns out like Riker 2 is like also an awesome dude.
Yeah.
But only one of them could be on the Enterprise. And then it's like, well, then who's more Riker?
So wait, the one that got like sent somewhere else spent like the whole time trying to get back?
Yeah.
And he's like, I made it. And then everyone's like,
another
what?
Riker. They're like,
whoa.
Hey, fucking, this is Riker. And Riker's like, yeah, man.
How did they determine
who's more Riker?
Who? Yeah, who's more Riker?
I forgot how they decided. I think they just figured it was... I'm probably butchering this, but it might have been like whoever got to the base first. Maybe.
It's a race.
Clearly, because the one that got there first was like, nah, man, I'm not leaving. And they're like, yeah, you kind of like, you went over there, though.
Yeah,
so.
We had drinks with them last night.
Yeah, like, dude, this Riker's.
Had some deep conversations.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, they also have an ongoing poker game every week. Like all the people.
What a bunch of nerds.
Yeah. And like there's they have a whole like 10-minute conversation about why beards are cool. Because, here's a true TV writing thing apparently.
Yeah.
So for anybody listening, there's like a term called jump the shark.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess in Happy Days and they're running out of ideas, there's like something where like
Fonz
like,
literally jumps a shark.
And somebody
said,
oh man, we're at that point, we're jumping the shark.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, like when a series becomes like, oh, it's amazing.
Now it's figured it out.
It's called Riker's Beard.
Oh.
So in the second season, Riker just grows a beard. And the first season's pretty good, but when the second season happens, it's fucking awesome. And so they say, they're like, oh, that show just like grew a Riker beard. Like, got a Riker beard is like, oh, it really, you know, it's like X-Files season 2 is like, oh, shit.
Now I feel like I'm going to start hearing that. Like,
yeah, look for Riker's beard.
That's so funny.
Because then at a certain point, I think LeVar Burton grows a beard too. And almost, they like, and then Data can like will it.
Yeah.
Like Data has a beard for like
the
a little bit.
The cat has a beard.
Yeah, and his cat's just covered in beard. But, and they're all talking about like, the beard is the most masculine thing a man can do. It is what... It's a show of our strength. And this is like Worf talking. He's like, I fucking love my beard. Are you fucking kidding me? Riker's like, yeah, I also fucking love my beard. It's great. All right, yeah. So those are the two main things you needed to make sure we got onto this episode. Beards, yeah. Teleporting.
Mm-hmm.
The pro-teleporting people say that technically your matters turn into energy, so it's still you.
Traveling.
Traveling, and then you come out.
Even though you have no memory of the travel.
You have... Of the actual travel, no, because it's like instantaneous.
Oh, it's instant.
It's like, well, somewhat, because you become energy, so it's like light.
Oh, so you travel that fast.
Yeah. And there's a
travel faster than light? Yeah, I was going to say, how much distance do you have, and you can only stay in time, like the same time?
Yeah, you can only, it's like, you can beam onto planets and stuff like that, but they have a bunch of stuff where
do they have to be able to like,
you have to be in a certain range.
Range, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Or else you're fucked.
Okay, I kind of buy that.
And actually, there's like the show Enterprise, which is supposed to be the very first Star Trek, technically. Mm-hmm. It's far, far, far back prequel. It's supposed to be the first crew. Like a bunch of the episodes are like the teleporter, like they just got it. And so like it's not working. So a lot of people like show up and it's like half their body.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Like shit like that. And they're like, people are like, I'm not going to use goddamn teleporter.
No. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Scotty rarely uses it. Mm-hmm. Like I think Scotty's like, I'll beam you up, but like I'm not getting in that thing.
He's afraid of it.
He's like, I'm not getting in there.
Yeah.
He's Scottish.
That's interesting. I mean, I like that they clearly put a lot of thought into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it does, like you were saying earlier, is like what is you?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to have that conversation with people of like, they're like, well, if you get cloned, then it's like you live forever. And to me, I'm like, no, it's not because I'm dead.
Yeah, you'd be and I feel like if you were interacting with your clone, you would be like that. Were clearly different, and then
yeah, you'd be a little
that
different,
your
yeah.
clone would start having different life experiences than
yeah,
you
immediately.
And and would probably be different from you pretty quickly.
Pretty immediately, yeah, I would think so. I mean, the question is,
But and people that say that, that this is the same people that are like, have a kid.
What?
That is not no. Yeah, have a kid and you live forever. What?
But that's what I think a lot of people have kids, right? Because they get to a point where they're like, I'm going to die, but for sake of the human race, my human purpose race, in life. But
right. My purpose in life is like, I need to procreate and then I will pass on my
genes, my energy, my DNA.
Everything. Like, I will raise them. They will be like another me.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Which is stupid. I think the human race is doing pretty fine.
Yeah.
Not that I'm against
that.
Well,
they just announced that.
We're going down or we're going up?
We're down. The United States is down.
Yeah,
it was cool. It was like Japan started it and China, I think. Well,
China had the one child rule.
They had the one child rule. And now their problem is, this is very dark. Too many men.
I've heard about
it. Yeah. But Japan, they're now like paying people to get married and have children.
Really?
Yeah, because no one's getting married.
Oh, I heard about that too.
Yeah. Man. And then,
opposite
and then
problems.
Here, everyone's like, it's too expensive.
It is too expensive.
It doesn't make any
sense. Hundreds of thousands of dollars? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you don't have to have kids like, and also like women have more rights now, so they don't have to get married and have kids.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Or if you have a kid, you don't have to get married or you don't have to have a kid.
Right. Well, yeah. And I was thinking too, like, it's like even probably our parents and like, I know my parents had me when they were 24.
Oh, that seems young.
But at the time it didn't seem young.
Yeah.
I think that was just like people were like,
it was like the average age. Back
yeah. Then. And then my one grandma from Kentucky told me how like in high school girls started dropping out because they were getting married.
Well,
she was the only woman really? to graduate. Cause people, women were like, you just wait until someone's like you, and then you get married and start having kids.
Oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, but I think it's like when you're not that developed as a person
like
yet.
Because you don't know.
Yeah, because she was very big on like live your life, because you're stuck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean my mom's parents. My nana was 16 when she was born.
Wow.
And my grandfather, Pops, who's still around, awesome dude. He was 17.
Wow.
And they both couldn't drink at their, they like had to get married and whatever. And they were married, you know, forever and shit. But like.
Yeah. Cause at that time too, it's like divorce is no.
Yeah. It's a no. I mean, they separated a couple times. And stuff, and like, they were like
full
around.
Yeah.
But like literally they would always like, they would be like, hey, why would you get married? No.
Don't do it. Come here. Don't do it.
Don't do it. My grandmother would always tell my mom like, don't like live your life for the love of God.
Yeah.
Just wait for a while. Holy shit. But 24 seems young, but that's how old my dad's parents, I think, were when.
Yeah. I think that, I feel like that was pretty average. And then, like, as I was getting older, people, I remember, like, my aunt and uncle were like, oh, we better start having kids. We're already, like, starting to be old parents. And that was, like, 28.
No. See, my parents were older when I was born. They were, my mom was 38 and my dad was 40.
Well, on my dad's side, my grandma was 35 and then 44.
For the dad?
35 for my dad, 44 for my aunt.
Oh, she was 44. Oh, that's pretty old.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, ooh, shit. good genes.
You'll be fine.
I was like, oh, I got so much time.
That's
even
great.
If I want to, but I, want to, at this time, I'm like, it's too expensive.
It's way too expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, and very time consuming.
Yeah, it's super time. See, I know I'm getting older, though, because like when I look at pictures of babies, now I go, oh. But to be fair, it's like my friend, she's an aunt now, and her niece is like objectively adorable. Because I've seen, there's a lot of ugly babies.
Oh, I know.
Tons of fucking, and they're like, look at my beautiful son. I'm like, come on, man. That is an ugly monster baby.
But maybe in their mind, they're just like, it is perfect.
Yeah.
It's like love is blind.
Clearly love is completely blind. Like that like to the point that sometimes I'm like, is there something wrong with your baby? Probably. Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've heard like when people become aunt and uncles, they're like, I fucking love my niece. I love my nephew.
Yeah, sure.
Cause I think that might be like a genetic thing. I also think like we don't know enough about like pheromones and stuff.
It's probably.
Cause I think,
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause babies smell nice. I thought I haven't spilled a baby in a while. I've never met.
But they've done studies for like when a woman gets pregnant, like the dad like starts naturally producing like
really
like hormones that are like I want to stay and
I
help.
Want to stay with the child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's an interesting gender episode on Star Trek: The Next Generation,
oh.
way ahead of its time.
Oh.
I think it came out 89 or 90, where mm-hmm. Riker falls in love with an androgynous woman. It's an androgynous being, right? And they have to stay androgynous. Mm. To them, having binary sex of man and woman is like barbaric.
Oh.
But this woman wants to be with Riker. It's not a woman. She identifies more as a woman.
Got
These
it.
Are like
okay.
hermaphroditic, and they can like
yeah.
they can go that way. But if you do, then like you're out.
No, it's like exiled.
You're exiled.
It's like if you pick a sex, like you're it's like the, I'm gonna identify as this.
As this, it's the equivalent of like now when if for in certain in a lot of cultures everywhere where
like doing a sex change.
Doing a sex change.
Wow.
And yeah. Riker was like, but she should have the choice and option, and that's when the Prime Directive came in. Like you can't interfere with that. And eventually she just has to stay androgynous. But it was a very, like, kind of pro-trans episode.
That's cool.
Like, yeah.
yeah.
Like, you know, almost 30 years
that.
Ago.
I did yeah. that. No, yeah.
Pretty, I didn't know about dude pheromones. That's
go read up on it. I mean, I feel like it's, I feel like the levels aren't, like, super high or whatever.
Right.
It's like it, but they're like, oh, this is a thing that happens. And I think it happens if, like, they're cohabiting mm-hmm. with
oh, if
the
they're
pregnant
like together.
Woman. Yeah, because
oh,
I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure if you're
like you're not involved or attached.
Yeah,
but I think if you're like probably in the same proximity and planning it and everything, like
that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah. If you were like one of them, one of the person.
It's not like if
like
someone
Canada,
shows
like,
up.
I heard about it.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I reek.
Yeah. But I wonder, like, if that's also, like, family units. Because
oh,
I feel like
yeah,
people do feel protective. And I remember when my...
Are you an aunt?
No,
oh, okay.
no. But when my cousin had a baby
mm-hmm.
and, like, brought him home, like,
yeah.
for Christmas. Like,
little baby.
It
yeah.
brought all this joy. In the
oh,
day.
Yeah.
Everyone was so high up, like, dopamine. And
oh, serotonin. Yeah.
So,
I bet.
Yeah. So I think that's just, like, a natural bonding to be, like... We must protect this
we must
child.
Protect the baby.
Yeah, the baby.
But if it's an ugly baby, though. Seriously, like, my friend Daniel told me that, like, when he was born, his mom said, like they're Israeli. It was like, why is she so, he's so ugly? Is something wrong? Like, I don't think something's wrong. And then eventually he became, like, not a monster.
Right.
Looking.
I feel like they know. Parents know.
They know. They, oh, of course they know.
They have to know.
There's a whole Seinfeld episode about that where they're like, oh God, there's some ugly fucking babies.
Yeah.
Like either the heads are too big or they
right.
have like a monster face.
But it's like, I feel like if you had an ugly baby, would you want to, it's like that.
What?
It's like what you're talking about. Like if you
yeah.
know someone's about to die and you tell
oh,
them that.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
you if can't... you know your baby's ugly, you don't want to like right off the bat be like, you were ugly.
No, you can't be like, God damn, you're an ugly baby.
You like you
like,
have to
so
build up their confidence.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
See, but if you're like an yeah,
you're so beautiful. But here, let's sign you up for
aerobics. I don't know.
Guitar lessons.
It's guitar lessons.
Let's get you really good at a skill.
Yeah, you're gonna need the best personality in the world.
You're going to personality school.
You're going to personality school. It's called UCB. No, I'm kidding. I think my personality got way better when I got into comedy.
Yeah, your confidence goes up.
Yeah, I think your confidence
And I think
goes
that's up. Why some people get angry when,
what?
Like, beautiful people are funny. Like, Channing Tatum.
He's funny.
He's funny.
He's really funny.
He shouldn't be funny.
He shouldn't. Ryan Reynolds, funny.
Funny.
Ryan Gosling, I think he's very funny.
John Cena, very funny.
John Cena looks like Channing Tatum a little bit.
Ah.
Could be like
a Riker situation.
A Riker situation. It's definitely a Riker situation. John Cena is pretty funny.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
See, it's weird. It's like, I don't get aggravated when like people like that are funny.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, they're just like funny, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I don't get angry, but it's like, if there's like a model looking dude doing like comedy, like just doing comedy,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what, like, hey man, like let me talk to you for a second, like, what are you doing here, man?
There's like this guy in one of my advanced study classes that I'm like,
it's like an Adonis.
I kind of want to pull him aside and be like, mate, you're in advanced study,
you're
like,
really, are
I
you?
Get it if you're like, you're taking 101 for your agent or whatever,
yeah, whatever,
like,
you do for- Yeah, I get if you were like total baby.
Yeah, yeah, like, but like, yeah, you're too pretty.
Yeah, I think it can be dead. Like, I knew this one dude I met that like, it was super. The thing is, like, a lot of these like good looking people,
you can't have it all, okay?
Yeah, well, yeah, but like, and then like it sucks. Like when they're like really nice, and you're like, God damn, he's
everything about you is perfect.
Shit, really nice guy. Okay, yeah. And like, they have an obstacle to overcome, though, because then the audience is like, oh, yeah, why should I be laughing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, see, like, I feel like I'm a solid 7, maybe. And so if I'm, like, there it's just like, this guy's supposed to be.
Okay. He's meant to be here.
He's, yeah.
We're already on your side.
Yeah, we're already on this side.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially, like, I mean, look at Patton Oswalt. Hysterical.
He's so good.
I mean, he's not an attractive. I mean, like, well, I don't.
You take that back. You take that back. No, he's a 10. He's a 10.
She is a 10. with his comedy and everything.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of like attractive women have that problem too. Cause even I, like, when I first see like very attractive, like,
it's like Rose Byrne or something. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. You're funny. I'm like, oh, shit. She's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, she's funny. Or I remember like Abby Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
She's like really hot.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, I'm like, oh, she's just probably, oh, she's really.
Isn't
funny.
She related to Chris Elliott, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, your dad got you, like, in it. It's
nepotism.
Like, oh, God damn it, you're so good.
But yeah, she was really good, though.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens, when, like,
you want to hate them, and then
you're like, ugh. Yeah. It's like if their parents are famous, but then they turn out to be, like, really good, though.
Yeah.
Like, Kurt Russell's kid was in a, what is it, Black Mirror episode?
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good.
Yeah.
And he was like really likable, and so like.
Did he change his name? Because sometimes they change their names.
I think he might have changed his name, maybe.
Because sometimes they try to hide it.
Yeah, right.
And then I find out, sense. And it kind of makes me mad because I'm like, "Well, you definitely got help."
Yeah, you did.
But you tricked me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like them trying to be like, "I got this on my own accord." It's like, no, you didn't. You daddy did called. It. Daddy, oh, made, daddy made some calls.
Dude, even if daddy didn't call, like, daddy got you an agent.
Oh, and yeah, if yeah. you're in the industry and you're like, "Oh, we can get, you know, Kurt Russell's kid."
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it because then maybe you'll get Kurt Russell or you'll get some of that money.
Or you get some of the money or any. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just like the banking on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, man.
Hollywood, man.
Nicholas,
it ain't fair. Yeah,
Nicolas Cage, though, he was Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
Yeah.
And he, but I didn't know that till way later.
Yeah.
And, we weren't alive when he was doing his big breaks, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. When I was born, I feel like Nicolas Cage was already.
He was. I just remember
Face Off.
Being famous. He's much more. Yeah, Face Off. He's always much more famous than Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah,
the wine guy.
The wine guy, right?
Yeah, I never saw Godfather. Saw the ending.
You would love it.
I hear it's good.
Finally, I get to say you would love it.
I would love it.
That was when, like, I watched the first one and immediately wanted to watch the second
really?
One.
Really? The second one won the Best Picture, too.
Yeah.
It's the only sequel to
I haven't seen the third one. So I hear it's not good.
I hear it's not good.
So just watch 1 and 2.
Yeah, I should watch 1 and 2.
It's a good Saturday.
Ah. Yeah. Does De Niro speak Italian in the second one the whole time or something? Or like,
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an act.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
My mom's friend hooked up with him in the 70s.
What?
Yeah.
Like, just like a one-night stand?
Yeah. Said he was great.
Of course he did.
Yeah, she said he was like a little weird. This is before he was like famous.
Oh, of course
though. This
he's
was like,
weird. Yeah,
yeah, that he was like just
you,
like observing.
You wanna lay on the bed?
Well, I want to figure out something. Bed, I'd like to observe people.
Yeah, I want you to take your shirt off.
Yeah, apparently he's like, yeah, he was so physical and just jacked. And I was like, yeah, Robert De Niro.
Oh man. Yeah, yeah, young nice. Robert De Niro.
Oh, young De Niro. Oh man,
and he's taxi funny driver. Too.
He's very funny, but he looks funny too.
Yeah, fair enough.
Great, yeah, yeah. But like I don't look at his face and go like, I know how he got famous. Yeah.
He's someone too, I'd argue, that like when it comes to comedy, yeah. I think there are some actors that are funny because they're such good actors.
Yeah.
Like they're just playing the objective so well.
Yeah.
And just getting in like committed to the scene that is role. Funny. Like mm-hmm. that's how I feel about like Meet the Parents and stuff.
Oh yeah.
He's not like joke, you
he's
know.
Like, bam.
I'm yeah.
Doing this. That's what Gene Wilder, speaking of, said.
Yeah.
my favorite quote of his is that if you play it as truthfully as possible, like you don't have to do anything. It's already fun.
Yeah.
And then the more you're just like, I'm just doing it like this.
Yeah.
Then it's hysterical.
He was someone too. He was trying to be a dramatic actor everyone kept laughing.
Yeah.
That's what happened. He's to like, me. After college, I was like, I wanted to do like dramatic stuff because I loved like Heath Ledger and as soon as I would like start talking, people would be like laughing.
Yeah, that was like in my acting classes, like the comedy classes I would
immediately.
And then I would get in the dramatic classes and just like that was good. And well, I was like, but
you could do. I just knew whenever I did drama, as soon as I like tried doing anything dramatic, I think just my voice and the way I talk.
Yeah,
like if I said like to somebody. Like, there was nothing we could do for your dad. You know, like it just people start laughing. I'm like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
Come on, give me a shot, give me a shot. There was so many people. There's blood everywhere.
You just have to make yourself cry.
Yeah.
Because if you cry, no one laughs.
Yeah, if you cry, nobody laughs.
So just cry all the time. Just do all your dramatic work, right? I've tried everything.
That's what's interesting. Every time you see like comedians try to do dramatic stuff, it's just them like not acting as
and
much.
Like furrowing their brow.
Just furrowing their brow and they're just like talking quieter and they're going like they're just sad all the time.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just like, I'm sad. Oh, shit. Fuck.
But then there's some comedic actors that are fucking great dramatic actors.
Like
Crickets.
Oh yeah, no. Wait, there's John C. Reilly does both.
Yeah, I love John C. Reilly.
He's great. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
William H. Macy,
incredible.
It's all about having that middle initial.
You need the middle. Wait, is there any that doesn't have a middle initial? Well, Peter Sellers. Well, he's mainly comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, never mind. But he can do drama. I'm sure he can do drama.
Yeah. And I love a good comedy where there is like a traumatic moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Don Cheadle can be very funny.
Yeah.
He's good drama too. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. Oh, wait. They all have. Holy shit.
Life hack.
Oh, my God.
We got to add our middle names into our stage.
I don't
personas.
Like my middle name.
What's your middle name?
Do I guess?
Let's see. Jason K. And you don't like it? Why don't you like it?
Because this is weird. Because it sounds too, like, I come from a family of Jews.
So it's very Jewish?
No, it's the opposite. So I was bummed that I didn't get, like, a really fun, like, Russian Jewish middle name.
It's like, is it very
super
basic?
Christian. So basic.
David?
No.
Jason,
so
Jesus.
Basic. Jason Christ K.
Okay. It's very Christian, very basic, and it's not David. Oh, David would be Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David.
Robert?
No.
Jason...
We'll give you a hint. We'll tell you a letter.
Yeah.
M.
Michael?
No.
Martin?
No. Both of those are, well, Martin out of the. Michael could have been cool.
Jason Michael.
That's pretty
sweet. You could have just been Jason Michael.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Jason Michael.
Jason Michael.
Yeah.
I
have a car.
Matthew?
Yep.
Jason Matthew?
Jason Matthew K.
That's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
It's kind of a mouthful, though.
It's a total mouthful.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what's your middle name? Wait, can I guess it?
Yeah.
Can you give me a letter?
N.
N.
So it's kind of common, but not super common.
Oh. Natalie?
No.
Okay, wait. Nicole.
Yep.
Ah!
Cassandra Nicole.
Oh, Cassandra, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw your name on the call thing. I kept looking for Cassie.
Oh, no, it's not on there.
Oh, it's not. Oh,
I know.
Cassandra
I've lived here for
though.
4 years. And there's a Cassandra in this building?
Yeah, but it's not your number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I think everything's like really outdated. Like my mailbox doesn't have my name on it. I could fight for it.
I could fight for mine too, especially since if somebody calls that number, it goes to some guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because my brother got it, had like a, not a, like a, yeah, kind of like a phone argument with the guy. He's wait, I'm trying to call Jason. Like, and he's like, wrong thing. He's like, no, my brother was like, I'm sorry, it's the wrong thing. He's like, yeah, obviously. And my brother's like, what the fuck?
Fuck you, dude.
Fuck you, man. I hung up. Ah,
yeah.
Damn jerk. It. Total jerk.
But, yeah, maybe you should for the sake of people calling back.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like going to put people in a bad mood when you're
especially
hosting.
Especially with that guy. Yeah,
yeah,
really.
That guy's a jerk.
Total jerk. Now all I do is I text people. I'm like, just text me when you're here.
That's what I do.
I don't want to deal with this guy. But yours doesn't go anywhere, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I used to have a door code. And then I was told it broke, and this was like 3 years ago.
What? After when you first moved in? Kind of.
Yeah, but I think, and then I mm-hmm. bet if I ask or something, I'll get the door. I don't know, because I hear it go off sometimes.
Oh, you mean the door code?
Like, there used to be a code just to type in, and it would open it, and then you walk in. Oh, yeah,
you should find that out.
Yeah.
Do you know your neighbors or anything?
Yeah. Well, but I haven't heard it go off in a while, and the door is a little janky right now. But when I hear it go off again, I'll talk to my landlord. But I think she told me, like, they changed it or something, and she was like, oh, it's broken, because I think I was having too many people come over.
Oh, really? Like, yeah,
and it's broken. They're like, this complex is, like, more older people. It's now a little bit younger, but it was, like, at the time.
Taking it back.
So I think they're very much like, who are these people coming in
it's a pool.
The pond.
I call it a pond.
Yeah. All right.
Nobody goes. Oh, yeah, we're good? Yeah, this is what, yeah, like a 4-hour episode?
Yeah, this is a 4-hour episode, but this was great. I could keep talking.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I guess I got to go watch Star Trek now.
Yeah, Star Trek The Next Generation. Yes. And if you finish all that, then Deep Space Nine is just an allegory about Israel and Palestine.
Cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, should I plug anything? Or?
Yeah. Plug your show.
Oh, yeah. LA Fringe Fest. Come to the three clubs to check out Hellcross, the People versus Hellcross. You can find it online. Follow me on Instagram, mainly.
And I'll include a link in the show notes.
I'll send you a link. Yeah. Click on that link. It's basically a heavy metal courtroom musical comedy.
It's great.
Yeah, you saw it?
I saw the space.
So this one's an hour.
Oh, wow.
And everybody gets their own song, and then Maddie's singing in it.
Oh, shit.
And there's like a duets, and there's like a whole new storyline.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the jury is the audience, so you guys vote. It's like two different endings.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's way cool.
And it's at the three clubs. Preview show's June 1st, and we also have an official drink,
which is a
shot of Fireball whiskey dropped into a cider.
Oh, yum. It tastes like apple pie.
It does. Oh, that's what it tastes like. Oh, man. I just remember just liking it a lot. And I thought, like, this tastes like something.
Apple pie. It's warm apple pie.
It is warm apple pie.
Spicy.
Mm.
That's a good drink.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Do you do a send-off?
I'll do a send-off.
If it's a Star Trek episode, say, make it so.
Make it so.
Yeah, that's what Picard says.
Make it so. I'll remember.
I'll make it so.
Make it so.
Yeah, there it is.
That's our episode. Woo! Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that great? It's such a fun conversation. I want to watch Star Trek now. Also, just fun sidetrack combos. Jason's a great person to talk to. And folks, you got to check out his show at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Look at the show notes for all that information. And you can follow him on Instagram at Jason K Comedy. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Cassie Jerkins. And if you haven't already, please rate and review this show on iTunes. And if you're shopping on Amazon, go to boardwalkaudio.com/dumbnerds. Click on that support our artist button. It takes you straight to Amazon so you can shop like you normally would. And it gives the show a little kickback. That's it for this week. Make it so.
Podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.